Friends, and can we have the cell phones turned off, please? If you have one. I'm Joe, and I'm still an alcoholic.
Hi, Joe.
My sobriety date is March 18th, 2003, and my home group is the Rule 62 group of Alcoholics Anonymous. And chapter 4 we're going to review today. The chapter, We Agnostic. I know when I first looked at this big book and I saw chapter, We Agnostic, I was kind of turned off by it. I was like, because I didn't really know what it was, and I was pretty sure I wasn't it. I probably skimmed through it and skimmed over it, and as I got a little bit more time under my belt, I started really reading into this chapter, and I really got a lot out of it. I think, you know, it's a great chapter. I'm not a big book expert. I don't claim to be, and neither does Johnny. The only thing I could share is my experience of what I get out of this chapter and what I've heard. You know, I'm a big fan of JoJo and Charlie CDs and what I get out of listening to them. And, you know, so we're going to go over chapter, We Agnostic. You want to say anything?
No, go ahead and start.
We only have an hour, so we're going to touch on a few things and, you know, try not to move too fast, but there is a lot of information to cover. I'm not saying what I get out of it is right or wrong. You might say, well, my sponsor didn't, you know, say this, or, you know, I'm not getting that. That's fine. I'm just here to share my experience. I know in the first paragraph, it says, if you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if, when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. My experience with that is coming in, I didn't drink every single day. So when the first couple of chapters completely smash home the idea, what happens to me when I do pick up that drink? My vision of the alcoholic was homeless, living under a bridge with a bottle of something in a brown paper bag. That was my vision of the alcoholic, and this book helped me to smash that, to get rid of that idea of what the alcoholic looks like. And when I put a drink in me, all bets are off. And I had to come to the realization of that and come to find internally, you know, basically surrender to that. And alcohol, you know, basically whooped me. And when I came in and they were talking about a spiritual experience, some people come in and are like, spiritual experience? They want nothing to do with it. I was kind of curious as to what this spiritual experience was, because I was pretty beat up, you know. Everything whooped me, and when I came in, they're like, you know, you might want to try and find some sort of power greater in yourself, maybe a god of some sort, and you might want to start praying to it, you know. And when I look back on my alcoholism, when I picked up that first, I didn't really have a choice before I even picked up the first drink. But when I picked up the first drink, all bets were off. I might be gradually sitting around the house and just drinking, and then the next week, you know, I'm smashing stuff. You know, I don't know what happens to me after I just pick up that first one. To one who feels he's an atheist or an agnostic, such an experience seems impossible, but to continue as he is means disaster, especially if an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed in alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not only not always easy alternatives to face. What I got out of that was, you know, pretty much insanity for me. To even to weigh out those options, a normal person doesn't have to weigh out those options. You know, in the beginning, you know, when I was just spiraling around Alcoholics Anonymous, I kind of asked myself, how bad of an alcoholic death are we talking? You know, because the spirit part of me was fighting the spiritual part of this, and I wasn't really sure on what was going on. So, you know, I came in slightly closed-minded and slightly open-minded. I wasn't really sure as to what I was going to get out of Alcoholics Anonymous. And as I came around, you know, the alcoholics and the fellowship showed me that there is a better way to live, and the spiritual life got really, really more attracted to me. I would, you know, pray to God. I had no idea what God could do for me until I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't have any really belief growing up. When I went through CCD and all that other crap, and I had no idea what really... I closed my mind to God at a young age. There, when I was going through all that stuff, I was just going there to have fun and trying to enjoy myself. I didn't pay attention to anything they were teaching me. When I came in Alcoholics Anonymous, I heard someone shared it like, you know, the Catholics believe in a punishing and yada, 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 God. When I'm like, I have a punishing God? You know, I was in a delusional world. I didn't really know what God could do for me. I always thought, you could live your life pretty much however you want, and before you die, you pray to God and ask for forgiveness, and it's like an Eckhart sketch. You just shake it, and it's all gone. Poof, it magically disappears. You know, that was my belief in it, and it was pretty much insane, you know?
All right. Hi, everybody. My name is John Isgoda. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My sobriety date is December 5th, 2001. My home group is Rule 62, meets at 7:30 on Tuesday nights in Lake Silkworth, Pennsylvania. Very grateful to be here. I'm here only for one reason, because of God's grace. Two things I know about God's grace is, one, it's not deserved, and two, it's never earned. However, I did not come to Alcoholics Anonymous with any type of God in my life at all. I came in here calling myself an alcoholic, not really knowing what that meant. I really didn't, I was just saying I was alcoholic, but I didn't know what made me alcoholic. And, and the book spends almost 42 pages describing the alcoholic of the hopeless variety. And through coming to Alcoholics Anonymous and suffering from this disease after I got here, I got my peace, which is I am a hopeless variety alcoholic of this book's type. And how I got that was... the way I lived every day. My experience was lining up with verbatim what I was reading in this book in black and white that was calling the hopeless variety alcoholic. It was me. I spent 9 months smashing that home. And, Joey talked about the heaven and hell punishing God. I grew up in, very religious, went to church. My family, they taught me morals, values, right from wrong, all that stuff, man. And the book's clear, and it says if a moral philosophy could change our alcoholism, we would have done it a long time ago. Morals, values, none of that worked. I had great morals and values. I just went against them on a daily basis. For me, alcoholism had to beat me into a state of reasonableness. Lack of power was truly my dilemma. Joey read the definition of an alcoholic. If you really want to quit, you can't. I spent the last 6 months of my active addiction putting every bit of power that I had in my life against my alcoholism to try to stop drinking, and failed utterly every day. I got up every single day for 6 straight months and swore to God I would never ever drink again. Never. And I meant it with everything I had, man, everything. By the end of that day, I was drunk all over again. The book talks about the mental blank spot in the alcoholic's mind, and I definitely have that. And it says we are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness without sufficient force the memory of the pain and suffering of a week ago or even a month ago. This renders us without defense against the first drink. This defense must come from a higher power. Must. You'll hear there are just suggestions in Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a lot of musts, too. The the suggestions are for the ones that, don't care if they live or die. For me, I must do this. This is not a cafeteria lunch for me. I cannot take what I want and leave the rest. I have to do what this book asks me to do or I'm a dead man. On the flip side of that, though, I get to live a life beyond my wildest dreams. When this book talks about that, it means it. I've experienced things that aren't possible for a guy like me. Just really not. I shouldn't be here. The things that I enjoy in my life that I haven't hold dear, man, I don't deserve any of them. I should have been dead. I should have been dead a long time ago. And, lack of power was truly my dilemma. And I understood that when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. I knew at some level that I was powerless over alcohol. It owned me, and I didn't own it. It told me what to do, and I knew that from trying to quit on a daily basis for 6 straight months and failing utterly. And, for me, I had no problem admitting the lack of power. But as far as the surrender of the rest of my life, I had a big problem with that. I remember sitting in meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous for the first couple weeks I was in AA, and my head's spinning 7,000 miles an hour in 30 different directions, man. People are talking in open discussion meetings, and I can't hear a word they're saying, and I'm really trying to listen. But for whatever reason, sitting in the same Thursday night meeting, Harvey's like, same people there that were there, the 6 other times I was there, and same people probably shared in that meeting that shared the other 6 times I was there, but one guy talked that night, and I heard, it's like all the stuff in my head just turned off, and I heard every word he said. And what this man said is going to meetings on a daily basis, calling your sponsor and talking to other alcoholics is great. It's a big part of this deal, man, and you definitely need to do it. But if you do not apply these 12 steps into your life, you're going to get worse because alcoholism is progressive, incurable, in most cases fatal. And there's 2 things on this planet, and this is absolute fact, that treat this disease. One is booze, and the other one's the 12 steps. If you're not doing either one of them, you're sitting right in the grips of a disease that's getting progressively worse. And you're going to know you're getting worse because the people around you are getting better that are applying these 12 steps to their life. And what I heard out of all of that was this man wasn't saying run away from it, change people, places, and things. That's important in the beginning, don't get me wrong. But, I knew if that's what AA was about, I'm screwed. Because I tried running away from him, and I tried changing all of that stuff and got drunk on a daily basis despite it. Could not stop. My past wasn't keeping me sober. The fear wasn't keeping me sober. Nothing was. Everything I tried failed. To where I didn't. I just gave up, man. What's the point of even trying, man? I just thought I was gonna have to drink until I'm dead. And but this man was saying this isn't about running away from it. This is about changing the way you think so you no longer want to do it. And that meeting was over. I got up and I walked right up to that guy. I didn't have the courage to talk to anybody. Couldn't look anybody in the eye when I spoke to him. I'd be staring at the floor, looking at the wall behind me. Or my eyes would flutter and roll right up in the back of my head, and I didn't even know what was going on. But I walked up to this guy, looked him dead in the eye, and said, I told him who I was, and I said, I need help. Will you sponsor me? And the guy looks at me dead in the eye and says, here's the deal. I'm not your father. I'm not your brother. I'm not your best friend. I'm not your shoulder to cry on. I'm not a counselor for your affairs. As far as your problems go, I don't have no clue what you should do with them. I can't answer my own. My only job is to take you through these steps, which will guarantee you a connection to a power greater than yourself, and that power will fix you, not me. If you're cool with that, that's what we'll do. If not, get lost. And the man absolutely saved my life because he forced me to rely upon a God that I didn't believe in. I had a lot of, and the book talks a lot in this chapter about, the one word that sticks out all over this chapter is prejudice. The first time it talks about it, it says, we have shared his honest doubt and prejudice. I had a lot of, prejudice is a prejudgment. It's things that I think I know for sure about God, and it's the things that I've been taught growing up. And I grew up in the Catholic religion. I heard a lot of heaven and hell punishing God. You do something wrong, God's going to get you. A family member would die when I was a kid, and my mom would say it's God's will. Well, so God kills people whenever he wants. I don't want no part of that God. Huge problem with God. Huge. The book says the first requirement is just to lay aside prejudice. Put it aside. It doesn't say get rid of it. It just says lay it aside, that maybe everything you know for sure about this God thing ain't so. Can you put it aside? Some of it may be correct. We're not telling you to get rid of it, but it's saying put it aside. And you may go back to it later, and some of it may help you, and it may be true, but some of it may be clearly wrong. And that's the first requirement. It talks about it 5 different times, man, to lay aside prejudice. It talks about page 46, the second paragraph. It says, let us make haste to reassure you that as soon as we are able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commence to get results. even though it was impossible for any of us to fully comprehend or define the power which is God. Which tells me if I'm trying to understand God, I'm trying to play God. And we got a big problem. It's not my job to understand God. That's his job to do what he does. And it says I need to lay aside those prejudices and open up my mind that maybe I'm not right here. And Alcoholics Anonymous deals with fact, not opinion, theory, or belief. It's fact. You know, and it was explained to me, I was having a real hard time with the God concept, and my sponsor looks at me and says, you know, do you have any type of God in your life right now? I said, absolutely not. He's like, are you praying? I said, no. He's like, are you spending any time doing meditation? No way in hell, no. He's like, looks at me, he's like, how's it going? And the truth was, it was going, my life was hell, you know, and I wanted to die. And what he did for me is I was in AA long enough that he pointed out several people that I came in contact with that I saw in meetings on a daily basis. And he asked me one simple question, how's it look like they're doing? And I had to be honest with myself and say, you know what, they look pretty happy. They look like they're doing well. And he would say, I know for an absolute fact that these people have a power greater than themselves centered in their life. So the facts are, you have no power and your life's hell and you want to die. And they do have a power and their lives are good and they're happy and they're sober. That's the fact, man. That's what got me to open up my mind. Maybe this heaven and hell punishing God, maybe this ain't so. You know, and I've since seen so much evidence to disprove that theory, it's ridiculous. Because when I sit in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, what I'm looking at is a group of the worst criminal elements absolutely known to man on the face of this planet. Sitting in the same room alive, sitting up and making sense and happy. If that isn't evidence of a forgiving God, I don't know what the hell is. You know, and if God was punishing man, everybody walked out the door of an AA meeting would get hit by a bolt of lightning. That's my sincere belief. And you know, so I had to put those beliefs aside, and the open-mindedness was the key. And if I didn't have that, I'm done. It's really that simple, man. For the alcoholic, and the book's clear on this, for the alcoholic not to believe in a power greater than himself, the best analogy I could put to that is, you know, it's just like not believing in parachutes. You know, you have a family that's a bunch of screwballs that pack parachutes for a living, man, and you see how they do it every day, and you say to yourself, there's no way in hell I'll ever freaking jump out of a plane with a parachute on my back. I'm not doing it. Not, you don't believe in them at all, man. No trust, no faith, no belief. And but I take you up 7,000 feet above the earth, throw you out of that plane with a parachute on your back. Now you're hurling to the ground at 110 miles an hour. You got some choices. You know, one is keep not believing in parachutes, hit the ground at 110 miles an hour, and die, or maybe change your mind about parachutes. Why do I have to change my mind? Because I don't want to hit the ground at 110 miles an hour. That's the same thing with alcoholism, man. Life or death. You know, this entire chapter, we agnostics, man, summary version of it, change your mind. You know, if you don't believe in God or you're unsure of God, change your mind. It's really that simple. That's the summary version of this chapter. Why do I have to do that? Because this is a life or death errand I'm on. Lack of power is truly my dilemma. I must find a power greater than myself. If not, I'm done. It's really that simple. And I saw so much evidence in the rooms of AA that power existed. If I could only tap in, and I remember first putting that power as my sponsor. You know, and the only thing that man ever did, man, was force me to go to God first, and then he would deal with me. You know, I'd call him up with a problem. He'd be like, do you go to God? Nope, I don't believe in God. Click. Dial tone, man. And now I'm pissed off at him. Pick up the phone. I'm like, dude, why did you just hang up on me? He's like, you go to God yet? Nope, click. He forced me to pray to a God that I didn't believe in, man. Only reason I did it is because I wanted to talk to him. He was the only hope I had. I knew for a fact, man, if I could get a tenth of what this guy's got, we're cool. I mean, he's walking around with the grace and the dignity I couldn't even wrap my head around. And I wanted a piece of that, man. And I was very, very willing to listen to him. I didn't always do what he said, but, you know, he was the power. Somehow, some way, this man found a way to stay sober for 16 years. His life is, you know, happy, and I could tell. It wasn't the material world around him. It was the swagger, the grace, the dignity, you know, he was walking around with, man. When he looked me in the eye and asked me how I was doing, I could tell he meant it. With all my heart, and you know, I just needed a piece of that, and I became willing to listen to him. But you know, I had to change my mind. I came in here with a lot of skewed ideas, a lot of misconceptions, a lot of things I thought I knew for sure that I absolutely don't know a damn thing about. I knew so much about what was untrue, I had no idea what was true. It was that simple for me. And for the first 9 months I was in Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't take these 12 steps. Out of this book, I didn't. The only thing I did was go to God because I was forced to. Didn't believe in God, but my sponsor wouldn't deal with me unless I prayed to him. But when I started, things just from that process of going to a power greater myself and trying to pray just so my sponsor would deal with me, I started to get results. And a book says that. It says we'll commence once the open mind is there. And a book says later on the page, it says, God does not make too hard of terms to those who seek him. The moment I started the action of prayer, God's there. He does not make too hard of terms. There's no specific way I have to pray. There's no, you got to get on your knees, you got to do this. If I had to get on my knees every time I pray, I'd be screwed. Because I got to talk to God all day long, man. His head goes 100 miles an hour in 40 different directions. I need his help. You know, if I have to hit my knees, I'm a dead man. Because there's not, I can't do that everywhere I go. And God doesn't make too hard of terms. So, you know, the simple action of prayer started to open the doors to this power. And what happened for me in my life at that point is it's like all of a sudden I started to become lucky. You know, things started to work in my life, man. The first good thing would happen, you know, that was coincidence. That would have happened anyhow. That was luck. It started to happen so often and so much, I realized I'm just not lucky. I've never been lucky. Now all of a sudden I am. Maybe there's something to this power greater than ourselves. Maybe, and I started to see evidence show up in my life, and I started to feel better. God's honest truth, I started to feel a little bit better at this point, and I had a little bit of hope. You know, and with that, you know, Joey start touch on some more points, but you know, the prejudice is the big thing for me, and a lot of the guys that I sponsor, I deal with, they have huge problems with the power. You know, when they hear the word God, and you know, before I shut up, and this is the last thing I want to say on this piece is, you know, I remember my sponsor saying this to me, man, and I do this with all of the guys that I sponsor, man. It seems to work very, very well from my experience, and I'm going to pass it on to you. If you can use it, use it. If not, don't use it. A lot of guys, and me including this list, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, huge problems with this power greater than ourselves. And one in specific that I just dealt with like a week and a half ago, and he's sitting, we're outside my home group, we're in a parking lot in a meeting. It's raining outside, there's just two, you know, three of us left, and this guy was new, and he's, as soon as you mention the word God, man, you can see him cringing. You know, and he shared with me, he's like, you know what, I grew up in a military family. You know, it was kill, kill, kill all week long, and then Sunday go to church. He's like, I got a huge problem with this God thing, man. I looked at him, I said, you know what? Everything you know for sure about this God thing, why don't you put it aside? If you could create your own God right now, write down, take a piece of paper out when you go home, write down all the characteristics you want God to have. And whatever you come up with is cool, man. They don't have to be mine. I gave him some examples of mine, which is loving, forgiving, all-powerful, there to take care of me no matter what I do or how bad I screw up. Perfect. Will never hurt me, will never leave me, was always there to take care of me. And I said, you want to use some of them, use some of them. You want to create your own, create your own. Whatever you come up with, start praying to that, because that's your God from this moment forward. And it starts right there for them. And it started right there for me. I abandoned the heaven and hell punishing God and the prejudice, and I opened my mind up to maybe there is a loving, forgiving God, and I've started to see evidence that that was the case. And that's never been disproven to me. You know, and the book talks a lot about that. So that's all I have on that piece, and let Joey keep going with the book. Thanks.
Next, a little bit more, touching a little bit more on the book, touches a little bit more on step one in the beginning of the chapter, Hoping Against Hope, where we were not true alcoholics. I know in the beginning for me, it was, you know, I would pray that I wasn't a real alcoholic, because that was my solution the whole time. It was like, that's what I wanted to do my entire life. All I want to do is drink and pretty much obliviate myself. And people wouldn't let me do that. And that's what I really, really wanted to do. And then it says, but after a while, we had to face facts that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else, you know, and or else. You know, that came down to me, or else I'm going to die. And I pretty much came to the realization of that. You know, after my tolerance towards alcohol and other things was going through the roof, and it was definitely a full-time job with unlimited overtime. It was insane. And then Bill goes on to tell us, after we pretty much smashed into the earth and we got... you know you're an alcoholic within. He says, but cheer up, you know. Okay. But something like half of us, you know, and we're like struggling with the God thing and everything, and we're trying to search out for a power greater than myself. I know that's for me, and, you know, but cheer up. But something like half our original members were atheists or agnostic. Our experience shows you need not be disconcerted, confused, or upset. I know I had a bunch of morals and values and instilled in my life, and you know, those little lines that I had drawn in the sand as I was growing up, you know, don't do this, don't steal this, this, that, and whatever. I had those growing up, and every one of them got eliminated. They got wiped away as I was going down my road of addiction, you know. And it says, if a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. My experience shows that that's not true for me. I mean, that's true for me. I could not stop drinking and using to save my life by myself. There was nothing. I had, you know, I tried girlfriends, you know, material things, you know, I tried all what the world was presenting on the outside, you know. Maybe if I just had this girl, you know, I'd be all right. I'd pretty much have a full-time babysitter. She's not like me. You know, this would work, you know. I would want to stop for her. Negative. No. Didn't happen like that. Well, maybe if I move in with her and this, that, and whatever you have, you'd be, no. I'd be right back to doing the same insanity over and over again, except this time I would have a hostage. This goes on to say, but we found that such code and philosophies did not save us. No matter how much we tried, we could not wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comfortable. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. From everything I just went over, everything I tried, you know, every idea that was rolling around in my head to try and beat this thing, failed utterly. And I knew I was beat. It was something inside of me felt like that white flag got raised and said, okay, I surrender. I got nothing. Goes on to say, lack of power was our dilemma. All right, you beat me down in the first 42 pages and said, you know, there is no, you have no power. I'm like, okay, well, I can't walk around being powerless. So now they're going on to tell us how to exactly look within ourselves to find some sort of God, to even, like, just have a little bit of belief that we could, that there is some sort of power greater than ourselves out there. Lack of power was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we can live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main objective is to enable you to find a power greater than yourselves that will solve your problem. Okay, sounds good. That means we have written a book we believe to be spiritual as well as moral, and it means, of course, we're going to talk about God. Uh-oh, I'm out the door. I know a lot of people, you know, come in here and, you know, as soon as they talk about God, they're out the door, you know, and, you know, don't, you know, some guys are like, don't talk about God too much around the newcomer, you know, you might chase them away. Well, I believe I heard JoJo and Charlie say, well, the whiskey will bring them back in again, you know, you don't have to worry about that, you know, and that's true, because as you come around, if you see them running out the door talking about God, they come in and beat and tatter, and you go, are you ready to talk about God now? And absolutely. You know, and that's what was true for me in my life. I hovered around, hey, I'm like, this thing sounds pretty good. If I have a problem with alcohol, maybe I'll come back, and I'd be out the door. But I always knew within the back of my mind that there was a place to go. There was always a place to go. Goes on to talk a little bit about, I'm going to skip around a little bit here, and it said, goes to talk about people with faith and who are walking around somewhat free. And I said, I know I was slightly bothered by these people. We were bothered with the thought that that faith and dependence upon a power beyond ourselves was somewhat weak and cowardly. I was like, you know, look at these people, you know, they're just like, you know, they're getting walked on, you know, that was my image, you know, they're walked on, and what they were was, you know, they had a strong internal connection with God, and it was okay for them. They didn't worry about that little petty crap that, you know, so much of us do, you know, and because they have a strong belief and faith in God. And, you know, I didn't get all this the first couple times I read it, but gradually as I was going through the steps and I started to get that internal connection with a power greater than myself, because I had a little bit of hope that, you know, this thing could work, because I seen it. You know, I seen it all around, especially after I did a four-step with my sponsor and I started to get into it a little bit more. I started to feel the connection, you know, and talking with him about some of the crazy crap that I've done in my addiction, you know, and him sharing the same things with me, I knew I definitely belonged in AA. This was my home. And Johnny touched on that. You want to add anything else?
You know, the book talks about lack of power being my dilemma, man. I must believe in a power greater myself. And it talks on page 47, I think. It says, we need to ask ourselves one short question. Do I now believe, or am I willing to believe, that there's a power greater than myself? That's probably one of the biggest struggles that I came to, and a lot of the guys that I work with come to. And alcoholics should be the last people on this planet to doubt a power greater than yourself. Absolute last people on the planet. We've always believed in a power greater than ourselves. What do you think booze was? Booze was the thing on the table at the end of the day that got things done that I needed to get done. Booze was the power. At 13 years old, man, when I found booze, it was the vehicle that kept me alive long enough to come to Alcoholics Anonymous. If I didn't find booze at 13, I'd kill myself by the time I got, you know, 15. And what booze did for me was gave me a complete personality change. I'm hanging out with a bunch of people. I feel very, very uncomfortable. Internal feeling is these guys aren't going to like me. They're going to run me off. You know, they're going to find out who I really am. They're going to run me off. And I drank probably two beers into that in that first drinking experience, man. The feeling went from what I just talked about to this. These guys are damn lucky that I'm here. You know, that internal condition was fixed. And booze fixed it. But prior to that experience and the action of taking that drink, if a guy would have walked up to me and said, you know what, I understand how you feel. You know, I know you feel like you don't fit in and you don't measure up and you're not like everybody else, but here, drink this glass of liquid, it'll fix all that. I looked at him like he's got lobsters crawling out of his ears. You know, there's no way in hell a glass of liquid could fix this. You know what, but what did I do? I took the action, drank it, and I completely, you know, got the results because of the action, and I believed in it with all my heart and soul, man. I was willing to die for it. Chased it every day from that point forward, and booze was the power greater than myself. At the end, the problem for me was booze dried up. You know, the last 6 months I was drinking, man, I couldn't drink. I still got drunk on a daily basis, but the insanity of who and what I was, that internal condition that I don't measure up, I'm a piece of crap, all of that was still all over me, drunk as hell. I could not get rid of booze anymore. It no longer fixed the problem, the internal condition. It did for a long, long time, man, and if it did, you'd be talking to a different speaker. If it still did, you'd be talking to somebody else. Somebody else would be sitting here. It dried up. It stopped working for me. Lack of power became my dilemma, and I must find a new power. Why? Because the old one dried up. It's that simple. The old one dried up, man. Unless I find something to substitute it, I'm done. Because I can't live without it. And, you know, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I see all these people that believe in this power, man, and their lives are working. So I opened up my mind to say maybe if it happened for them, especially with my sponsor, man, because he shared his experience with me. And he's a real deal alcoholic, man. This guy's nuts. I love him to death, man. But I saw his alcoholism all over him, man, and what he was capable of doing, but I saw him reacting with kindness, with love, and I couldn't understand that. And he was telling me it was a power greater than himself that helps him to do that. I believed he was just like me, if not worse. And this guy is not acting the way I act. He's not living the way I live, man, and his life seems to work. So maybe if it worked for him, it could work for me. You know, and I saw a number of other people in rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous that it was working for. So I started to believe. Because if not, lack of power is truly my dilemma, man. I must find a power greater than myself. And, you know, if I don't, I'm not going to be able to live. It's really that simple. And, you know, the book, I remember when I got to this point and I laid aside those prejudices and said, and the only reason I did is because I was beaten in a state of submission, man. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous believing that I could never drink again because I was going to die if I do. I knew that, man. I had no problem with that at all. The problem I had was the rest of my life. You know, doing what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And, you know, I would do things and then run it by my sponsor. Never before, always after. And what he said would happen, and I talked about this earlier, man, if I don't treat this disease and get connected to that power through those 12 steps, man, I'm going to get worse. And when I get worse, man, two things are going to happen. I'm going to get to a place where two things are going to happen. Either I'm going to drink again to go for the relief because I need relief, or I'm going to kill myself. And I'm 9 months sober. Haven't taken any direction from this book or that sponsor. Haven't got connected to any power greater than myself. Absolutely took my life as bad as it was when I got to AA. 9 months later, it was about 3,000 times worse. And the thought in my head every day was just kill yourself. It's over, man. It was kind of like for me, you know, I caused so much damage in that first 9 months. Sober, stone cold sober, man. It was like that somewhere around that 9 month point, man. It was like God hit me in the back of the head with a 2x4 and said, wake up, pal. Your next decision is, you don't have to drink again. You don't have to use again to die. Your next decision is taking you off this planet, man. If nothing changes, you're going to die. And I remember going to my sponsor and looking him dead in the eye and said, you know what? It's over, man. Can't drink. I can't not drink. I'm screwed. What's left but to kill myself? And I meant it with every fiber of my being. And guy's got a smile from ear to ear on his face, man. I'm like, dude, I just told you I'm going to kill myself. What are you smiling about? He's like, congratulations. Now you can get sober. Thank God. I had no idea what he was talking about. Thank God he did. And he immediately got me into this book. And that was the day that I turned my will and life over to the care of God as I understand him. You know, and the book talks about that on 54 and 55. You know, so I got that piece of lack of power was truly my dilemma. I must find a power greater than myself, which is step two, and the necessity of it. Because it says earlier in the book on page 34, it says, whether a person can quit on a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent to which he has lost the power to choose whether he would drink or not. This is the baffling feature of alcoholism, the utter inability to quit, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. Last 6 months of my addiction, man, I had every necessity, every wish in the world to stop drinking, and absolutely failed on a daily basis, despite not wanting to do what I drank anyhow. Lack of, you know, I lost the choice. I hear people in AA all the time talk about I choose not to drink. I don't know how to do that. I lost that choice somewhere in the middle of my addiction, man, and it's never returned to this day. I don't choose not to drink today, man. God's restored me back to sanity and soundness of mind. The book promises that if you apply these steps to your life, and the problem's been removed, it does not exist. You know, I follow a few simple rules on a daily basis and stay connected to that power. I walk the earth a free man. That's it. I can go anywhere, do anything a free man does. And, you know, the book insists on one thing. It says absolutely insist on enjoying your life. That's what this is about. If you're in AA for a long period of time and your life isn't fantastic, you're doing something wrong. You're absolutely doing something wrong. Drunks hanging out with drunks in meetings talking about their problems is not the deal. You know, if drunks hanging out with drunks talking about their problems could, you know, fix the alcoholic, go to any skid row in any town in this country and you're going to find drunks hanging out with drunks. And they're all talking about their problems. It don't work for them, nor does it work for us. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. No steps, no program, no recovery. You know, and if you're one of those people that hide behind the fact that the steps are merely suggestions, I got good news and bad news for you. The good news is you're right, they're only suggestions. The bad news is they're the only suggestions we got. You know, and it was put very, very clearly to me, man, either do this or you die. And, you know, I remember saying, I'm okay, I got this. You know, power greater than myself is the answer, man. Where is this power? And page 55 talks about it. It says, deep down inside of every man, woman, and child is the fundamental ideal of God. I hated that word, every man, because I knew it meant me. You know, and so I don't care if you're agnostic. I don't care if you're atheist. I don't care what personal belief you have. The book says every, and I operate under that illusion. And I remember looking my sponsor dead in the eye when I got to this place in a book, and I said, this doesn't make any sense. I'm like, lack of power I got is my problem. Power greater is my answer. Now you're telling me this power has dwelled inside of me my entire life, then why am I so freaking screwed up? It says, my problem is I never read on. You know, the answer's on the next line, but I didn't read, I didn't go that far. my answer's always on the next line, but I stopped there. You know, I never get there. You know, and thank God for sponsorship because he pointed me to the next line. You know, and that's the only thing my sponsor did was guide me through this book and got me connected to a power greater than myself. And the next line says that power's there, but it's blocked by the pomp, by the calamity, and by the worship of other things. Pomp simply defined as my ego. It's the thing that tells me I'm either better than or less than you. I'm worse or I'm better. You know, I'm different than you are. You're not the same. Your problems are different. That's pomp. That's what completely blocks me off from a power greater than myself. Calamity is the second thing. Simply define the best way I could describe calamity. Let's take the worst day you've ever had stone cold sober. I'll drive you down to your doctor's, man. He's going to surgically implant a microphone in your head, and what we hear is calamity. That's the anger, the resentment, the fear, the anxiety, all that stuff, man. The thing that makes my head spin 700 miles an hour in 30 different directions. Completely blocks me off from a power greater than myself. And then the last thing is worship of other things. Well, you want to know what you worship right now? Make a pie chart of everything you think about during the day. And whatever holds the biggest piece of that pie is exactly what you worship. And for me at the time, it was money, it was power, prestige, material possessions, women, everything but a power greater than myself. You know, and I have evidence, man, that power dwells inside of every man, woman, and child, man. I know for me at least, and a number of guys that I've sponsored, this has been the case. Think back when you were 6, 7, 8 years old, man, and you were going to do something wrong. Did you have a gut feeling or something inside telling you not to do it? I know I did, and I went against it every single time. What do you think that was? That's the power the book's talking about, man. And I went against that so often and so much, man, it just felt it was gone. It no longer was there. I went against it so often that eventually it just faded and went away. It wasn't gone. It was just blocked because of the actions that I took on a daily basis. And today I've gotten reconnected to that internal feeling, and I learned to listen to it. You know, and I've cleared the stuff I've put in between. I've cleared the pomp. I've cleared the calamity, and I've cleared the worship of other things. How did I do that? Clear, exact, precise set of directions, which are our 4th through 9th step. The 9th step says we'll suddenly realize promises. 9th step promises are we suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Suddenly means at a moment's notice. Talks about that at step 9, not at step 3. 3, the simple requirement was basically I need to quit playing God. You know, I needed to identify how I was playing God. In 4, I had to admit it to another human being. In 5, and I had to ask God to remove the crap that was causing me to try to do his job. In 6 and 7, and in 8 and 9, go clean a mess up I made playing God, you know. And when I got through that, bam, God shows up when He shows up, you know. And He showed up. I can't sit in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous today and not see the power or presence of a power greater than myself. Because what I'm doing right now is I'm sitting here looking at a bunch of dead people sitting up making sense. Because every one of us should be dead. The fact that you're alive, man, means there's some type of power doing it. Because I know by myself I could not do it. God's grace is the only reason why I'm here today, and I opened my mind to that belief because I saw so many others that did, and it worked for them, you know. And I'm a complete, you know, I love this analogy, and I'll kick it back over to Joey. You know, I was out to Las Vegas 2 years ago. There's a lake. I love to fish, by the way. It's my passion. It's one of my dreams. But there's a lake out, so I'm obsessed with water. I love being on water. But anyways. There's a lake outside of Vegas. It's about an hour outside of town. It's called Lake Mead. It's the largest man-made lake in the country. You know, if I could take you out to Lake Mead in the middle of August, take you right down to the water, let you touch the water. I'm going to load you back up in the car. I'm going to take you out to the desert. You know, when it's 117 degrees in August, man, I'm going to drop you off. You know, and I'm going to give you a map. Clear, exact, precise set of directions on how to get back to Lake Mead. You take that map and throw it right in the trash can, man, you're going to wander around that desert. And you're going to die of dehydration, believing, absolutely trusting without a shadow of a doubt, and knowing Lake Mead exists because you touched it. You know, but you're still going to die because you need to access the water. Knowing, believing, and having faith is not going to access the water. We have a clear, exact, precise set of directions on how to access the power. Lack of power is my dilemma. Thank God for a clear, exact, precise, because if they weren't clear, exact, and precise, man, I would screw it up. I would screw it up. The book gives me clear directions on how to connect to a power greater than myself. Therefore, my problem is no longer lack of power. I'm not powerless over anything today. I hear people running around AA all the time saying powerless over people, places, and things, man. I am not powerless over people, places, and things. If I stop doing what this book asked me to do and get disconnected, I am absolutely powerless. And I will drink again and I will die. But the book mentions the word powerless once. And says it in the first step. It says we were powerless. It doesn't say we are. Says we were. What I found is power in Alcoholics Anonymous, which eventually connected me to power of my own understanding. You know, and my power doesn't need to be your power. I'm a firm believer, man. When I go back to, and the book talks about this in the chapter Agnostic. When I tell guys to create their own God and the characteristics they want that God to have and start praying to that God, I believe whatever they come up with is exactly what's supposed to be there and God put it there. You know, so my conception doesn't have to be yours. You know, I'm not telling you to believe in anything. Just open up your mind to see maybe everything you know for sure ain't so. Maybe it ain't right. And you do that and you got a shot at a life beyond your wildest dreams, man. And at least that's what I've found to this point. With that, I'll kick it back over to Joey. Thanks.
I definitely I love this next line on page 48 and in the big book up at the top. It says, "Faced with the alcoholic destruction, we soon became open-minded on spiritual matters as we tried to be on other questions. In this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. It finally beat us into a state of reasonableness." Some it took longer than others. I definitely in touch internally. I was faced with that and looked at spiritual matters at a different way. And on step two, when I came to step two, my sponsor just directed me, you know, look to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous as your power greater than yourself to get connected with it. And I don't know how many times I would go to meetings and I would be having some sort of something going on in my life, and that would be the topic at the meeting, or someone would share that at a meeting. And there's only so many times I could go to a meeting and have it be coincidence that they're talking about this, you know? And I'm like, this, maybe the first one or two times, coincidence. This is just coincidence. You know, gradually after over and over, I'm going, you know what? There's got to be something out there, because, you know, this just can't happen like this. And to believe in this power of the group is amazing, you know, and it helped me tremendously with step two, and to turn my will and my life over in step three definitely helped. I don't know how many times in early recovery I read in that what Johnny went over, that deep down inside every man, woman, and child is a fundamental ideal of God. I had no idea what they were talking about. That was, to me, it was gibberish to me. I had no clue what it was talking about until I got into the action of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. When I got into that and I started, you know, unblocking it and started feeling, I knew exactly what the book was talking about, you know, because it was starting to get unblocked and I was starting to understand it. I was starting to feel it a little bit more and more, and starting to listen to it and get connected with it, you know. And I just love walking around and seeing young children, because they still have that sparkle in their eye. They still have it. And my sponsor always tells me, smile at them and, you know, wave to them, you know, make a goofy face to them, because they still have that connection with God. And it's an amazing thing to even watch and see. You want to open it up?
Yeah, maybe a couple more minutes. You know, and another point, man, is it says that power dwells inside you, deep down inside of every man, woman, child. But it says only in the last analysis may you find him. You know, I don't hit the lottery, marry a showgirl, and then go seek God. It just don't work that way for me. I had to destroy absolutely everything in my life before I became willing to entertain this whole God idea. Why? Because the book talks about you know, our ideas didn't work, but this God idea did. And I saw evidence of it, and that's what I saw in AA on a daily basis since the day I got here. And I became willing to try what, you know, these people were talking about. And today, my life is no longer, lack of power is no longer my dilemma. I'm no longer suffering from a hopeless, state of mind and body, man. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I am not cured, but I am recovered. The book talks about it a number of times, man. It tells me that's how I should share, and that's the fact in my life. I don't get up every single day and walk on eggshells wondering what's going to cause me to drink today. When the book says the problem will be removed, it does not exist, and we've had absolutely nothing to do with it. That's from a power greater than yourself, man. When it says that happens, it happens. But it's a requirement of the requirement for that is taking the first 10 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. It doesn't happen at step one. It happens at step 10, and you got to do all the steps in a row, in line. And that's what's happened for me. You know, I don't walk on eggshells today when it's causing me to drink. Nothing is. Problem's been removed. You know, and it's because I became willing to entertain this God idea. You know, and trying to see the evidence of God in my life or the hand of God work in my life is like trying to stand in front of a mirror and watch my hair grow. You know, reality is my hair's grown. I just can't see it. 30 days later, I stand in front of that same mirror, man, and I see how much my hair's grown. And it's the same thing with the hand of God. God's there every day doing for me what I can't do for myself, and I don't always see it. But 30 days of time goes by, and I look back at the last couple of weeks, and I could see where things just worked out, and I'm amazed by how I dealt with it. Where did I find the power to do that? You know, I came in here hating everybody and everything, and there's a few simple prayers the book gives you to, you know, with the anger and the resentment, man, and use them every time that happens, and guess what? I don't have the anger and resentment anymore. My entire life I tried to combat that and fix that and couldn't. Today, because I use the prayers the book gives me, power greater than myself does for me what I cannot do for myself. You know, and it's my every day that I try to live through these spiritual principles, and they're principles, which are laws. Gravity is a principle. You know, take you up to the top, everybody in this room up to the top of the roof on the Hilton here, and we all jump, man. Every one of us is hitting the ground. We're all dead. Gravity applies to everybody, man. It's not separated from anybody. The 12 steps are principles. They apply to everybody. Everybody that works them will get the same results, connected to a power greater than themselves. And it doesn't matter whether you believe. Doesn't matter whether you think it's a good idea. Doesn't matter whether you think any of it's going to work or it makes any sense. None of that matters, man. All that matters is that you take the action and do it. It says seek God. Seek comes through action. And the clear, exact, precise set of directions on how to do that are in this book. You know, and the requirement in the chapter of Agnostic is if you think you know everything about God, change your mind. Because if not, you're going to die an alcoholic death. You know, and I don't want to die an alcoholic death today. I want what this book says, being rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence, to know a level of peace and happiness that I can't even wrap my head around. You know, and I get to experience that on a daily basis today. There's points in my recovery where I, through these principles, man, and this connection to this power, which I don't understand to this day, but know is there. And I didn't come here saying, you know what, I got to go get this God thing and I need some spiritual growth. I came here destroyed. You know, and the only reason I was willing to do what this book asks is because I was destroyed. And these are the results that I got. This is the power that showed up in my life, man. And I've seen, here's the God that I worship on a daily basis, man. I sit in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, I think like almost a year ago. There's a guy that walked into the room, absolutely destroyed. Family hates him, restraining orders, wife and kids. Never have any shot in hell of ever seeing his kids again. You know, and impossible. And I see this guy 6 months later getting a 6-month chip at the same meeting. You know, and his kid's sitting next to him looking up at him like he's his hero. You can't move from where that guy was to where he's at. It's impossible. You know, but yet it happens. And I get to see miracles like that on a daily basis. And I know it ain't us doing it. We're just tiny links in a big human chain that's got God all over it. Whether you not want to believe that or not, the only person you're selling short, if you block this power off, contempt prior to investigation, the book says, is the only thing that keeps a human being in everlasting ignorance. I don't want to live in everlasting ignorance anymore. I don't want to die an alcoholic death. I want this life you're talking about being rocketed by a fourth dimension of existence to know a level of peace and happiness that I can't even fathom. And that's what I found. To the point where I get to periods in my recovery where I just don't think it can get any better. It's impossible, man. It's fantastic now. Every time I've ever said that, it's gotten better. Every single time. You know, to the point today where I'm at is I'm excited to see what's next because I can't imagine it. I can't imagine it, man. There's a guy on the West Coast, and I'll shut up with this, Clancy Emerson, 52 or 53 years sober, man. I got to see him speak in York, Pennsylvania, 2 years ago, man. I remember talking to him after the meeting, and he shared this with me. He said every year he reads the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and applies what it says to his life. The book gets smarter and his life gets better. Please tell me the downside to this. 53 years and his book gets smarter and his life gets better. I got the greatest feeling I've ever gotten the first time I ever drank. Greatest feeling ever. And from that moment forward, chased that feeling and never got back to it. The longer I went, the farther away that feeling got, man. This was the opposite. Through these 12 steps, I got tapped into that same feeling. Took longer to get, but once I've gotten it, it's only grown from that day to this day, and it's been a little over 6 years, you know, to where I'm excited to see what's going to happen next. You know, and, you know, I'm very, very grateful to be here. You know, without you guys, there is no me. Because where I get to see the hand of God is in your lives, not mine. You know, I can always see where he's been compared to where he is. And I believe he's here with me tonight. I believe he's in his room, man, and because I invited him here. You know, and I'd not come here with this stuff. These are just the results that I got from living this stuff on a daily basis. And there ain't a person on this planet that's going to tell me that God doesn't exist because I've seen too much evidence to disprove that theory. So I wish you all the best, man. If you do what this book asks you to do, you will live a life beyond your wildest dreams. This is not just about not drinking and using. This is about living, absolutely insisting on enjoying your life. You know, you better have a life beyond your wildest dreams or you're doing something wrong. That's all I have. Thanks.